today, and in our world, there are an amazing number of conspiracy theories. And I think there have always been those theories that circulate, but perhaps today, with the speed of the internet, they can be spread much more quickly and among many, many more people. My mum used to say to me, "John, don't believe everything you hear." And perhaps more than at any time, we all need to be listening to my mum's advice. But there is such a thing as a healthy doubt, to question some things. I take a lot of comfort from the man who asked Jesus to heal his son. And he said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus replied, "If you can, everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And at times, I find myself in this man's shoes. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Here's an interesting exercise you might like to undertake. Have a look in the Bible at the heroes of faith and find their doubts. Have a search for their doubts. Now, of course, doubting Thomas is relatively easy to find. We know about doubting Thomas. He wasn't present when the other disciples saw the risen Lord Jesus. And so he said, "Unless I see for myself, unless I touch those scars, I will not believe." And then later, Jesus appeared to him and said, "Stop doubting and believe." Of course, in the Old Testament, you might think of Gideon, who had his doubts when God called him to undertake some work. And so Gideon had this fleece that he would put out. And for a couple of nights, he tested God, checked out his doubts to see if God was really speaking to him. And then in the reading we had today from the Psalms, the psalmist says, "My foot had almost slipped." There's a sense in which he was losing his grasp on his relationship with God. And then, of course, you might remember the story of doubting Peter. "Come," said Jesus. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, getting out of the boat really stretched Peter's faith, and he was walking on water, but then he began to sink in his doubts. Did Jesus leave him to sink? No, of course not. Jesus immediately reached out and helped Peter. And imagine for that moment, imagine what it would have been like to be Peter, standing there, perhaps up to your knees or your ankles in the water, as Jesus holds your hand and lifts you. So this month, our focus is on John the Baptist. And in our story today, he is having doubts about Jesus. But he's not alone. He's not alone as one who has doubts. To give this some context, in Matthew's gospel, we're given more detail about how John was arrested for calling out the sin of Herod. And because Herod didn't like this, he had John arrested and put in prison. As John languished in prison, in some ways his confidence in Jesus was shaken. I suppose all manner of thoughts may have come to his mind. Have I done enough? Have I sufficiently prepared the way? What if Jesus is not the Messiah? What if I've messed things up? We're not sure about those thoughts, of course, but we do know one question he definitely asked. He asked of Jesus, "Are you the one? Or should we expect someone else?" And rather than stewing on his doubts in the darkness of the prison cell, John exposed his doubts to the light of Jesus. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Or should we expect someone else?" I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that John asked this question, because this is my question. And I think it's a question that many of us have. And from time to time, it will arise in our lives. Is Jesus really the one? Or should we look at the alternatives? Jesus' response to John was very compassionate. And Ellie drew this out well in what she was saying in her children's talk this morning. Jesus didn't say to the disciples, "Look, just go back to John and tell that doubter to have faith. Harden up. Trust more." You see, faith is not just a matter of getting pumped up. I will believe, no matter what. Faith is not ignoring the hard questions and treating them like they don't exist. If you try to suppress your doubts, put them in some deep, dark place in your soul, turn off the lights, and try to forget them, they're going to fester there, and they're going to demand to be let out. They'll bang on the door, and they will trouble you when you try to go to sleep. At their worst, they may change from doubt to unbelief. They will try to unleash themselves into your life with devastating effect. So Jesus is not saying to John, just suppress your beliefs. Rather, it's helpful to see how Jesus responds to John with compassion for his doubts. Jesus directed the disciples to look at what was happening around them. Just look at the blind who now can see. See this lame person who now can walk. And John's disciples had opportunity to see and to talk and to interact. All they had to do was to look around and see the powerful ministry of Jesus, to see the kingdom of God coming in what Jesus was doing. So Jesus replied to these messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard." In a sense, Jesus is saying to them, look, the kingdom of God has come. All this is happening. Go and let John know about it. Give him the assurance that he needs. Tell him what you have seen with your own eyes. Strengthen him with the truth that the kingdom of God has come among us. And this is very typical of the way God, Jesus, the way we read in scriptures of how God responds to doubts. You see, God understands us and understands our doubts. Jesus didn't let Peter sink in his doubts. In love, Jesus held out his hand to Thomas and said, "It's okay, Thomas, you can touch these scars. You can see these wounds." He didn't reject the man who was wrestling with unbelief, but went on to heal his son. God didn't give up on Gideon. Rather, he met him at his place of doubt and questioning. And he did what Gideon asked with the fleece. You and I don't need to hide our doubts away. God already knows them. And just as Jesus was willing to interact with John and his doubts, he will meet with us with our doubts. Timothy Keller has a great sermon called Praying Our Doubts, and the link was in the email that was sent out on Friday. Just as the title suggests, he's speaking about taking our doubts to God in prayer. In the message, he looked at Psalm 73, where the writer moves from the very precarious situation where we read, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold." And he moves from that to later on in the psalm where there is confidence, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand." Timothy Keller says that prayer is a way to work through our doubts. Like the psalmist, you may have found times where you feel, "My heart and my flesh have failed me." But as we reach out to God, we find that he still has our hand. You may have had that sort of sinking feeling when doubts seem to rise up within you. Yet we know God has got our hand. You will have seen, or maybe you have been in the position of holding the hand of a toddler who's just starting to walk. You can feel their little hand in yours. And you know their step is uncertain, and you know that they're wobbling, and you can feel them slightly off balance. And so you give to them through your handhold some of your strength so they can stay standing and learn how to walk. We don't mind if they fall. That's part of learning to walk. We anticipate it. We give them the support they need. In a sense, we are toddlers in the faith. And God is holding our hand. He knows we will wobble. He knows we will stumble. But at just the right time, his grip will become firm to hold us and steady us. And this is the experience of the psalmist. "Lord, you hold my hand." This is the experience of Peter. Jesus immediately reached out and held him. It seems to me, though, that many Christians don't really grasp how rational, how reasonable Christianity is. And for some, their faith is like a fragile flower. It could easily be crushed. They feel it could be blown away at any moment by the winds of doubt. So they try to protect their faith from questions, from doubts, because they feel they're beginning to teeter, to wobble on the verge of falling over. Perhaps their faith has been assaulted by disappointments, perceived advances in science, perhaps the mocking of their friends or their family, and they feel almost defeated by their doubts. While each of us is beset by human doubts, weakness, a mix of confidence in some ways, Christianity is robust. Our Savior is strong. Christianity, Christian faith, is not believing contrary to the evidence. It's believing in the person and in the promises of God, for which there is good evidence. The Christian faith is built on a strong foundation. It's not about to topple. It's not about to disintegrate. Jesus entered our human existence and became one of us. He knows the mix of emotions that we face. He knows our strengths, our weaknesses, our disappointments, our failures, our hopes, and our dreams. And he treats us with kindness and with compassion. He is slow to anger and quick to mercy. The prophet Isaiah said, and just listen as I read these words to you, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Have there been times for you, perhaps even this week, or maybe last night as you were listening to this announcement, where you felt like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick? Let these words of Isaiah flow over you. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Even in our weakness, he comes to us so that we may grow to be strong. In Jude, we read, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to those who doubt. This is God's command to us. Be merciful to those who doubt. Will he not also then follow that and be merciful to those who doubt? Well, what difference does this make to us? What are we to do with our doubts? Well, we recognize at some point in our life, maybe several points in our lives, we will be really tested. Our faith will be tested. Perhaps this sudden lockdown raises doubts within us. Maybe there'll be times when we feel we're in a dark prison of doubt. Maybe, following God, we've stepped out of the boat and stretched our faith and found ourselves beginning to doubt. Or like the psalmist, feeling something of our footing has begun to slip. What we do with these doubts will make a difference in our lives. Like John the Baptist, we can take our doubts to Jesus, who is compassionate and merciful. We see this compassion time and time again with John the Baptist, with Thomas, with Peter, with Gideon, with others. Did Jesus snuff out these smoldering wicks? Of course not. He reached out to help. He restored. He strengthened. He upheld them. Or we can do as Timothy Keller suggests, and I really do recommend that you listen to his podcast. It's really very good. He says, doubt your doubts. Scrutinize the doubt. Test the doubt. Does the doubt have more substance than the thing that you're putting your faith in? Does it have real validity? Is it reasonable to have this doubt? And then think about the consequences of that doubt. Where is that doubt leading you to? Is it a better place than where you have been with your faith in God? Imagine you're clinging to a cliff. You feel my foot has almost slipped, and someone reaches down to take your hand. Your alternatives are grasp the hand or slip and fall away. Doubting the hand that's offered to you isn't a good alternative. You might well doubt, will this hand be able to hold me? But you need to doubt that doubt and take hold of the hand. The hand of God has reached and held many from slipping. He will not let you go. You can trust him to hold you. If you're feeling weighed down with doubts, then today allow Jesus to lift you up. And take comfort knowing this. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down.